मुखं करोति वाचालं भंगुं लंघायति गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountain and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of all life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace. Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter. Vishwarup Darshana Yoga, the vision of the universal form. As I told you many times, the Bhagavad Gita consists of 18 chapters, and each chapter is called Yoga. Krishna told Arjuna first Sankhya Yoga, the chapter which deals with ultimate reality. Next, he explained to Arjuna Karma Yoga, then Jnana Yoga, Yoga of Self-Realization, then the way of meditation, the way of realization, the way of imperishable Brahman, the way of divine majesty, then the way of divine manifestation, and now he is explaining the cosmic form, the vision of the universal form. In this chapter, Krishna will tell Arjuna, Nimitta Matra Bhava Shabba Shachin, be my instrument. In the beginning, you thought that you might not win in this war, but look, they are all killed by me beforehand. Arjuna saw all these great warriors are dead. So, in this chapter, Arjuna prayed also to Krishna. In the beginning, in the last chapter, he heard the divine manifestations of Krishna. Now he had a desire to see. You see, these eyes and the ears are close neighbors. But as you have heard, your neighbor that your neighbor is a very rich man, so you want to see his riches, how much wealth he has. Similarly, the ears of Arjuna in the 10th chapter heard all divine manifestations of Krishna. Now, the eyes, the nearest neighbor of the ears, had a desire to see that cosmic, the divine form of Krishna. In this chapter, first we find Arjuna was asking that, could you show me that form? Then we shall see, Krishna will say, look at me, look my form. Look, this is my form. Let me begin the verses first. Then I shall explain one after another. Arjuna yuvacham madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyatmam adhyatma sangitam jatvayoktam vachastena mohayam vigato mama. Arjuna said, out of compassion for me, you have spoken words of ultimate profundity concerning the self, and they have dispelled my delusion. As we know, in the first chapter, two things bothered Arjuna: fear and delusion. As we know, the time of Gita is 3,000 years. The time of Buddha is 560 BC. and Krishna's time is mentioned by the scholars 500 before BC. Now, 3,000 years ago, the problem Arjuna had, same problem we have, fear and delusion. He was afraid seeing those powerful warriors like Krishna, like Drona, Bhishma, Karna. And he was deluded, thinking that in this holocaust, in this terrible world, so many people would be killed. So these two things overwhelmed him. Shoko Shangbigna Manasa, he was submerged in grief. So he asked Lord Krishna that my mind is very much confused. I do not know what is right, what is wrong. I surrender myself to you as a disciple. You tell me, what shall I do? From that time on, Krishna started to give instruction to Arjuna. Asochan anna shochastam prigyabadam shabhashase gatashu anagatu sungshan anushochanti pangita. You are grieving for the people who are not supposed to be, you know, for whom you are not supposed to grieve, to be grieved. All beings are nothing but the Atman. Atman cannot be killed. Atman cannot be a killer. Neither you kill nor you are killed. In this way, Krishna described the mystery of the Atman to Arjuna. Arjuna said, I am very grateful to you, Krishna. You have so patience, so much love for me. My intellect was very deluded, but you have sharpened it through Atma, Anatma, Viveka, through the discrimination between the Atman and the non-Atman. This is a great lesson we get from the philosophy of Vedanta. What is the self and what is the non-self? Dehadi, ajnana purjantam, from the body, the manifested form to the ignorance, the whole thing is nothing but non-self. What is the Atman? The indwelling self. How to separate them? Drishyate tu agraya buddhya sukshma, through meditation, the seers of truth differentiate between the self and the non-self. When the mind becomes one-pointed, it has a power of discrimination. And that is the way we get the knowledge of the self. Madhanugrahayo paramam gujjam adhatma sangitam. This adhatma vidya, this knowledge of Brahman, this discrimination between the self and the non-self, I learned from you. Not only that, it removed my delusion. Bigato mamo moha ayang moha. This moha, this delusion has been removed by you, O Krishna. I am very grateful. Bhavo appayo hi bhutanam shruto vistarasho maya tvatto kamala patraksho mahatmam apichagdayam. I have learned from you at length, O lotus-eyed Krishna, of the origin and dissolution of beings, and also of your inexhaustible greatness. Arjuna addressed Krishna as Kamala Patraksha. Kamala means lotus, Patra means leaf, Aksha means eyes. O lotus-eyed one. Last summer when I was in Sacramento, Swami Shraddhanandaji was showing me a lotus leaf. They have a lotus pond. Previously, my idea was lotus-eyed one means the petal of the lotus, you know, like that. Then he said, no, that is not true. So he took one lotus leaf, he cut it, you know, with hand, he broke it, And then he reversed it and he showed that which is the water side, you know, below side, bottom side. He showed that there's just like a lotus eye, just like this. We have, as between the eyes, we have a, you know, near the nose, we have a break, and just like this. It met near the stem, and then it becomes like this. Then I took that leaf and put it on the street and took picture with my camera. Because it never struck me that that is called lotus-eyed one. Anyhow, according to this, I should not say in the Hindu system, but there is some traditional phrenological study of India. We find there are various kinds of eyes. Some eyes are divine eyes. They call it Devachakshu. And this lotus eyes are the same. You will find there are some human beings, their eyes are Akarna Vishranta. It comes near the eyes, near the ears, very long. That is divine eyes. Those people are very simple, pure, very spiritual. Some are Yogi Chokshu, very round, big eyes, a little reddish color. They are yogis. They are Brisho Chokshu. There are some people, their eyes are like bull. Bilal Chokshu, there are some people, their eyes like cat. Those people are very shrewd, crooked mind. You see, seeing the eyes, they have various kinds of studies. So, most of the people have mixed eyes. Some yogi, some, you know, some divine. I remember once in Hollywood, a devotee, when I was explaining these eyes, so that person caught me near the door and said, show me what type of eye I have. I said, I don't know. I have just told you what I know. You now find out. You go in front of the mirror and check by yourself. Kamalapatraksha. Bhava appayu bhutanam. Yes, you have told me that you are the source of the whole creation. And at the end of the cycle, the all beings merge into you, go back to you. Yes, I know it. So this birth, death, all these things are nothing but illusion. We come from God and go back to God. That you have told me. And I believe you. Shruto bistarasho mama, I heard it elaborately. Don't think that I forgot all those things you told me, Krishna. Now, abhayam mahatmam api. And you have told me elaborately about your greatness. What is that? Mahatmam api cha abhayam shrutam vishwa srishtadi kartitva bi sarva niyantrito api. And you are the creator of this whole universe. You are the controller of this cosmos. You are the giver of good results of action. You give bondage, you give liberation according to the karma of each individual being. There is no partiality or hatred in you. You are the witness. You are abhyaktam, you are that great unmanifested one. These things I have heard from you. Next verse. Evam etad yat atha tvam atmanam parameshara drashtum icchami te rupam vaisharam purushottam. As you have declared yourself to be, O Supreme Lord, even so it is, yet do I desire to see your Ishvara form, O Supreme Purusha. Drashtum icchami, iccha. A desire has come in my mind to see you. We hear many things from the scriptures. But if we see, we get conviction. You see, most of the people have indirect knowledge about God. You know God. But you don't have any conviction. You don't have direct knowledge, direct perception. That is the most important thing. For that reason, Swami Vivekananda went to different people and asked that simple question, have you seen God? Nobody could answer him. Father of Rabindranath Tagore said to him, "Your eyes look like a yogi." But that did not satisfy Vivekananda. When he came to Dakshineswar, asked the same question, Sri Ramakrishna said, "Yes, I have seen God. Not only I have seen, I can show you. He have never heard such thing from anybody in his life. Drashtum icchami, I have a desire to see your form." You see, when desire comes, curiosity comes, we try to fulfill it. So it is a very good desire, a desire to see God. Most of the people have desire to see worldly things, show this, that. But who has desire to see God? Very few. Krishna mentioned that in the 7th chapter of the Gita. Manushyanam sahasreshu kushchit jatati siddhai jatatamadi shviddhanam kushchin mam vetti tatpataha. Among millions, only few people try to know me. And among those who try to know me, only one or two make it, become successful. Because this knowledge of Brahman is very precious, very difficult. You cannot get it by money, by any other effort, except by the grace of God. That Krishna is going to say, tell us tonight. Drashtum icchami Aishwaram Rupam. Aishwaram Rupam. What type of form? Your Ishwara form. Ishwara form means, do you know how do we think of Ishwara God? Gyanam. His knowledge is uncovered, undiminished, infinite knowledge. Aishwaryam, power. All supernatural powers are bubbling within him. Sri Ramakrishna one day said to Swami Vivekananda, "You see, all 8 powers are bubbling inside me. I like to give those powers to you. Do you want? Do you want to have them?" Vivekananda said, "Sir, will they help me to realize God?" "Oh, no. But they will help you to show miracles, to do something special. I don't need them. The thing which does not help me to realize God, I don't it. I don't want it." Immediately, Sri Ramakrishna was so happy. "You are a great soul. Even you have relinquished the desire of the supernatural powers which can show miracles, which can make a person famous. You have true renunciation." Sri Ramakrishna tested his disciples in many ways. Jnano, Aishwarya, Shakti, ball, strength, virtue, undiminished absorbing power, Tejo, light. That is his Vaishnavam Rupam, Ishwaram Vaishnavam, that is the power of God. I want to see it. On another occasion, at Kashipur Garden House, Sri Ramakrishna said to Vivekananda, "Do you like to see the form of Radha?" He knew Vivekananda was a follower of non-dualism. He was a non-dualist. He did not care for bhakti, devotion. He was a follower of knowledge, non-dualistic knowledge. "I shall get that knowledge of oneness and I shall be absorbed in Samadhi." That was his school. That was his attitude. But Vivekananda, Sri Ramakrishna wanted his disciples should not be one-sided. He should take the bhakti, love aspect too. Otherwise he won't enjoy the life. So he wanted to show him the Radha form. Radha is the spiritual consort of Krishna, embodiment of bhakti and devotion. Then Swamiji said, "Sir, if you show, I shall be glad to see." Immediately he took the form of Radha. It is recorded in the life of Swami Vivekananda by his Eastern and Western disciples. Drashtum icchami, I want to see. I want to see you. Manyase yudi tat shakyam maya drushtumiti prabhu yogeshwar tato me tvam darshayatmanam abhyayam. Arjuna continued, if, O Lord, you think me able to behold it, then, O Master of Yogis, reveal to me your immutable self. As we know from the record, Krishna took his cosmic form on three occasions. First, when he was a little child. One day he was, his foster mother, Yashoda, was feeding him milk. And he was a child, naughty child. He put some kind of dust or something also in his mouth. You know, little child, when they throw everything into the mouth. So the mother, Yashoda, took Krishna on her lap and was taking a piece of cloth, you know, was trying to clean his tongue. And this little boy opened his mouth. Immediately, Yashoda saw different gods and goddesses, the whole universe into the mouth of that little child Krishna. That was the first time Yashoda saw the cosmic form. Of course, as soon as Krishna was born, his mother and father were in jail, in the cell. There he showed them his Vishnu form. But he did not show them the cosmic form. To his step-foster mother, he showed the cosmic form. Second time, Krishna showed his cosmic form in the Ujjok Parvam of the Mahabharata. Krishna went to the court of Duryodhana to settle the war so that there should not be any war. Krishna went there as an ambassador of the Pandavas, Arjuna and his five brothers. They tried to avoid this war. So when Krishna went with the proposal of, you know, amicable settlement, it did not work out. Even Duryodhana, the king of the unrighteous party, wanted to arrest Krishna. There he took cosmic form and frightened them. Third time we see Krishna took the cosmic form at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That is, Arjuna saw that form. That form was seen by Arjuna. Krishna, Arjuna says, yodi manyase tat shakyam, if you think, oh Krishna, I am not demanding, you see, if you think that I am fit, please show me your cosmic form. I know my shortcomings. I know I am an ordinary human being. I may not be able to withstand that cosmic vision. But if you be so kind enough, I shall be glad to see your form. I like to see you. Manyase yodi tat shakyam maya drushtumiti prabho. He prabho, O Lord. Yogeshara tato me tvam darshayatmanam abhyam. I like to see. I have heard about your graciousness, about your divine manifestations. I have heard that you are the creator, preserver and destroyer of the universe. Now, in the end of the last chapter, in the end of the 10th last chapter, means 10th chapter, you say, ekangshena sthito jagat, this whole cosmos, this whole universe is held by me in one part of my body. So, how big is that form I want to see? You created curiosity in my mind. And if you think I am not fit to see that, and I am not supposed to ask you to see that form, that will make me sad. That will make me bad, feel bad, because I know you are God. You have the power to make an ordinary person fit. You see, you can make the impossible possible. You can make the dumb eloquent. You can make the lame scale the mountain. That all power is within you. If I am unfit, you can make me fit in no time. Because you are God. One day Sri Ramakrishna asked Latu Maharaj, Swami Adbhutananda, "Hey Leto, do you know what is God doing right now?" "No, Master, how do I know what is God doing?" At that time, Latu Maharaj was massaging the feet, you know, rubbing the feet of Sri Ramakrishna. "You know, right now God is passing a big elephant into the eye of a needle." And that he was an illiterate, you know, boy, is a shepherd boy. He was thinking, what is that, Master? "You don't understand? That God is passing a big elephant through the eye of a needle. He can do anything he likes. That means you are a shepherd, illiterate boy. Now you are serving God. Out of mercy, out of grace, God has made you capable to serve God." I remember once one of our Swamis, I knew him very well. He was one of our vice presidents, went to Swami Brahmananda and said, "Maharaj, if you think I am fit, please give me my final vows, monastic vows." Swami Brahmananda looked at him and said, "Nobody is fit, but I decided I shall give you the vows." You see, we see God by the grace of God. What do you mean? Why do you practice meditation, japa, spiritual disciplines? Do you know what do we do? After doing all these things, we come to this conclusion that they do not work. We give up our ego. "Do you know, I meditate so many, seven hours a day. I study all over the day. And I find..." Those are all ego. Then comes surrender, self-surrender. It happened in Benares. One of the disciples of Holy Mother was coming to serve the Holy Mother. And another disciple of the Holy Mother said to that monk, "You are going to Calcutta. Please ask Mother, when shall I get her grace?" Then this monk came to Calcutta and said to the Holy Mother, "Mother, this monk, you know, your disciple asked me to ask you that when you will bestow mercy, grace on him." Immediately she said, "What? Practicing a little meditation and japam, he has become so proud. Do you think God realization is just like your eggplant and pumpkin in the grocery shop? That you will go and buy it?" It comes by the grace of God. You do your part, 50%, the japam and meditation, study, discipline, and the remaining is in his hand. That Sri Ramakrishna said. When the lawyer presents the case of his client to the judge, he tries utmost. Then when he comes back from the pulpit, the client says, "Could you tell me what would be the result of my case?" The lawyer says, "I do not know. I presented your case as best as I can to the judge. It is now in the hand of the judge." Same thing in our spiritual life. We must do at most what we can do. Then just leave it in his hand. He will decide. What a beautiful answer Sri Ramakrishna gave in this respect, on this point. Jami Vaisha Brinuti Tino Labhya. This Atman is realized by that person whom Atman chooses. Do you know how the Atman chooses a person? Tam ibhyo lokebhyo unninishati tameva sadhu karma karayati sadhu chintayati. Always remember, if you think that you, whom God gives a lift, he will force him to do good action. He will force him to think good thoughts. He will force him to create a good vibration. That means you are going toward God. He makes everything favorable when a person is sincere, genuine. Everything becomes favorable. As Sri Ramakrishna used to say, if you move one step toward God, God comes 10 steps toward you. Just move one step, see whether it works or not. What a hopeful message. Just move one step, see whether help comes or not. Mannasi yodita shakyam maya drashtumiti prabhu. If you think I am fit, O Krishna, please show me your form. You see, sometimes we get a little vision at the time of meditation. We see a light. And some people think that's it. That's enough. That is not enough. That is just a glimpse. That is just like a beginning. It means you are on the signal that you are on the right track. With vision, first vision and all this light, that means you are on the right track. You are going all right. There is no end of a spiritual experience. Swami Brahmananda said that after Nirvikalpa Samadhi, spiritual life starts. So you can imagine what is that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna said, the Lord said, Pashyame partha rupani shatasho atha sahasrasha nana vidhani divyani nana varna kritini cha pasya adittan vasun rudran vashinav marutastatha bahuni adrishta purbani pasya asharjani bharata ihaikastam jagat krishnam pasya adya sacharacharam mama dehi gudakesha jachanna drashtum icchasi. The Lord said, behold my form, so partha, by the hundreds and the thousands, manifold, the divine, various in shape and hue. Behold the Adityas and the Vasus and the Rudras and the twin Ashwins and the Maruts. Behold, O Bharata, many wonders that no one has ever seen before. Behold here today, O Gudakesha, the whole universe of the moving and the unmoving, and whatever else you desire to see, all concentrated in my body. As soon as Arjuna requested, Krishna said, Pasya, look. He did not hesitate to show his cosmic form to Arjuna. Because he knew that he would be the right person to see that form. He had that training, he had that strength. You see, some people cannot withstand that vision. You will find Arjuna started to tremble later. One day in Dakshineshwar, Hridaya, a nephew of Sri Ramakrishna requested the master, Master, could you give me a little samadhi? Sri Ramakrishna said, why are you asking for samadhi? You are serving the Divine Mother, you are serving me, that will do. You don't need samadhi. No, Master, so many people get samadhi and I am serving you are not giving me anything. He started to quarrel with his uncle. At last Sri Ramakrishna said, all right, I shall ask the Mother. After a few days, Hridaya was in Panchavati Grove and he had that samadhi, some kind of ecstasy. And when he had that ecstasy, he started to shout and yell. Whole temple people, you know, assembled there. Hridaya was yelling. Then he was shouting, oh Ramakrishna, you and myself both are the same. Let us go and, you know, preach God among the people. Sri Ramakrishna noticed that, you know, he was not the right person to absorb that kind of a spiritual experience. So he started to rub his chest. Mother, make him dull. Mother, make him dull. And Hridaya became dull. He again became a normal, same person. So you see, some people cannot withstand spiritual experience. I sometimes say, suppose you are lying down in his bed at Christ or Krishna, you know, if they appear before you at night time in gross, like human form, as you see, what will you do? Most of the people, I can tell you, they will shout. They will out of fear. They will cry. Or they will, I sometimes make joke, and they will call 9-11. Well, Lord, you be in the picture on the wall, that is fine. Don't come to me by person, I shall be in trouble. Because we are not ready. Truly, we are not ready. We are so fearful. Pashyame partha rupani shatasho atha sahasrasha. Hundreds, thousands of my divine forms. Look, I want to show you. Nana vidani divyani. They are all beautiful, gorgeous, with various colors. All these gods and goddesses. Pashyo adityan. Look at the 12 adityas. These are all. I think we discussed these things in the last chapter. These 12 shining forms of gods. Ashta Boshun, 8 guardian angels of the universe. 11 Rudras. 2 Ashwins. They are the doctors in heaven. 49 wind currents. And many other forms, wonderful forms. Yehi kastam jagat krishnam pashyadya sacharatram. Look, the movable and the immovable, the moving and the unmoving universe are within me. Sentient, insentient beings are within me. The past and present and future are in me. So you can see now that what would be the outcome of this war. You will win. Your old enemies will be killed. Eknath made a comment on it. Now Sri Krishna is beginning to reveal his universal cosmic form in one of the most magnificent portraits of the Lord I have seen anywhere in mystical literature. In the Upanishads, the body is picturesquely called a little city, whose ruler is the self. Recently, I have been looking into quite a few books about the body, the immune system and the senses and all the mechanisms of health and disease. And the more I read, the more apt this image seems. If we could see life as a bacterium might, the body would be as busy as Bombay or New York City. It is a world of its own, so vast that learned societies of bacteria could study it and publish papers on its workings for generations and never suspect either the existence of the ruler or anything more vast outside. In a breathtaking leap of spiritual insight, the Hindu scriptures go on to say that just as this body is only the city we live in during our life on earth, so the whole universe is no more than the body of the Lord. This is the cosmic vision that Arjuna is entering now. It is a beautiful image. When the Lord goes out into the world, he dresses as Sri Krishna or the Buddha or Jesus the Christ and goes about looking just like one of us. But when he goes back home after a hard day's work, he takes up these forms and wears all the galaxies of the universe as casual garlands, as causal garlands about his neck. That is why Sri Krishna is always represented as dark blue in color. It is to remind us that his body is really the infinite vastness of space and time. Swami Vivekananda during his itinerary days was traveling in the Himalayas. One day he took bath in a river and sat down for meditation under a peepal tree. And after meditation, he wrote something in his diary. And Swami Akhandananda, another brother disciple of Vivekananda, was with him. He went out for some food. When he came back, he opened the diary and found it was written by Swami Vivekananda. "Today I solved one of the greatest problems of my life. I have experienced the microcosm and the macrocosm are built on the same pattern." It was written there. Then the word and God that from, as we read from the St. John, from the New Testament, that thing also Swamiji put there in his experience in the diary. The whole quotation we find in the life of Swami Vivekananda by his Eastern Western disciples. This microcosm, this being, this body, is the minute form of this whole universe. This thing is in the Hindu scriptures, you know, thousands of years ago. These things are in the Upanishads. Sarvata pani padam tat sarvatokshi shiromukam sarvata shruti mallauke sarvam avritas tishthati. They describe this cosmic form of God. All heads are his head. All hands and feet are his hands and feet. All eyes and ears are his eyes and ears. Imagine that cosmic form. Ihoikastam jagat krishnam pasyadasa mama dehi gudakesha jachana drushtam. Gudakesha. Krishna addressed Arjuna as Gudakesha. Gudakesha means the person who has conquered sleep. What does it mean? Means he has conquered tamas forever. He is ever awakened. After reciting these three verses, Krishna all of a sudden looked at Arjuna and noticed that Arjuna was not seeing anything. And he said, "Pasya, these 12 Adityas, Ashwini, Ashins, Rudra, Marutas, see all my cosmic forms and all these gods and goddesses." After repeating three verses, he looked at Arjuna's eyes and noticed that he was not seeing anything. Then Krishna said, "Natung mang shakyase drushtu manena iva sa chakshusha divyam dadami te chakshu pashyame yogamishwaram." I understand. But with these eyes of yours, you cannot see me. I give you a divine eye. Behold now my sovereign yoga power. Out of grace, out of mercy, God gave the divine sight to Arjuna so that Arjuna can see those divine forms. You see, when we see God, we do not see God with these eyes. Sri Ramakrishna says, "Bhaktir chokhuai, gyanir chokhuai." We coat devotion on our eyes. With those eyes we see God. You see this in Hindu scriptures, in Vedanta scripture too, we find Gyana Chokshu, Dibba Chokshu, Manas Chokshu, Tritiya Chokshu. Chokshu means eyes. Gyana Chokshu, the eye of knowledge. Manas Chokshu, the eye of the mind. Tritiya Chokshu, the third eye. Dibba Chokshu, divine eye. They are mere words, but all mean the same thing. You see? Our two eyes, with one eye we see what is good. With another eye, right, with right eye we see what is good. With left eye we see what is bad. When this good and bad, these pairs of opposites, you know, when this eye movement stops, then the third eye opens. Most of the people, you can experiment it in your home. When you sit for meditation, close your eyes. then you will see that you are going many places. Your eyes are closed, but you are going to your business, you are meeting your friends, you are cooking, you are talking this person, that person. So many places you are moving around, but your eyes are closed. But if you can stop that outgoing tendencies of the eyes, you know, tell your eyes, no, don't go out, stay here. When these two eyes, you know, when their movements stop, at that time the third eye opens. That is with that eye, that is called manushukshu, the eye of the mind, the mental eye, the third eye, the eye knowledge, the eye of knowledge, that thing opens. At that time you will see various forms within you. You will get the glimpse of yourself. You may get the glimpse of your chosen ideal. That is the beginning. At that time, that means you have shut the outgoing tendencies of the mind. And immediately that mind, you know, cannot stop. It will work. It will go in one direction. In which direction it will go? It will go in the innermost self. Because you stopped his going out. You don't allow the mind to go out, so the mind cannot go. You see, your eyes, actually your mind is going through the eyes to the external objects. The moment you shut it, the mind goes within. That is this is the whole secret of spiritual life. You practice meditation and japa. Do you know what you do want to do? You want to divert the tendency of the mind toward inside or microcosm. After experiencing the self within, if you go outside, this world would be a beautiful place. When the mind becomes pure, only at that time it can go out. But Sri Ramakrishna said, here is a thread with many fibers. Can that thread go into the eye of a needle? No. Sri Ramakrishna said, you take a little water, and you rub the thread, and immediately it becomes one pointed, then you pass the thread through the eye of the needle. So this outgoing tendency of the mind does not penetrate inside the heart to the self. If you have too many desires, too many outgoing tendencies. But through spiritual disciplines, we make the mind one-pointed so that it can penetrate inside. It can go to God. Where there is God, there is no ego. Where there is ego, there is no God. We curb our ego. We control our ego. We control our mind when we focus it toward God. Natumam shakyase drashtu manena iva sachakshusha. I tell you frankly, Arjuna, you won't be able to see me with your eyes. These mortal eyes. Make it divine. Dadami te dibbam chakshu. Let me give you the divine sight. Now you see my yoga power, this cosmic form. We read in the Bhagavatam, Dhruva, a great devotee of Krishna, practiced disciplines to see Krishna. He was an eight years old boy. And when Krishna appeared before him, he could not pray. He did not have any words to glorify the Lord. So Krishna took his conch and touched his lips. Immediately, like spring, the prayer came out, burst forth from the lips of Dhruva. That is one of the beautiful sections of the Bhagavatam. So God, out of mercy, gave power to that little boy Dhruva so that he can eulogize, he can praise, glorify God. In the same way, Krishna gave the sight to Arjuna so that he can see God, the cosmic form. So we see God by the grace of God. Sri Ramakrishna said, at night time the police sergeant patrols the city. He has only the light. He has a very big flashlight. When he focuses that light, he sees everything, what is going on in the city. And with that help of the light, we see each other. We know each other. But if we want to see the police sergeant, we'll have to pray to him. Hello, sergeant, could you turn back the light on your face? If you pray to him, he will say, all right, you want to see me? Look, immediately turn back the light on his face and you can see him. But if he does not turn that light on his own face, you can't see him. So you'll have to pray. Master, do thou reveal unto me. In this way you will have to pray. So out of mercy, out of compassion, he will turn back the light on his face and you will see him. Here this man wrote a nice comment. Suppose you are a very rich man. Can you put on the dress of the police? No. The police people won't allow you to use their dress. You may be a very rich man. That dress comes from the government. The government wants that this police should protect the people. So the government empowers the police. And with that power, he empowers. He rules the city. He brings law and order to the city. But everybody cannot put on that dress. Similarly, everybody cannot see God without the grace of God. As everybody cannot put on the dress of the police without the grace of the government. Same thing in the spiritual life. Pasha me yogumasharam. In the Bhagavad Gita, I shall discuss to you again. You see, there are various kinds of moods. There are 9 kinds of moods a human being passes through. Sometimes the mood is very, they call it Karun Ras, what is called. In the beginning of the chapter, we find very sad mood. Arjuna was very sad, very much depressed. Then Krishna brought Shantarash, calm mood. Then in the 11th chapter, we find that mood is again changing. Here comes the wonder. Wonder, mood of wonder. You know, we are just amazed. Arjuna is amazed seeing Krishna. That, you know, he is my cousin. Krishna is his cousin. He is my friend. We talked, we lived together, we ate together, we chatted together. And now I see he is God. And seeing his universal form, seeing his universal form, Arjuna was trembling. This is a very beautiful passage of the Bhagavad Gita. Dibyam dadami te chakshu. I shall give you divine sight. With that sight, you will see me. You remember, once an old monk went to a Himalayan pilgrimage, I think Kedarnath. He went 12 times. But the last time when he went, he was an old man and he was blind. So another co-pilgrim, another monk said to him, hey, why are you going to Kedarnath? You have no eyes, you are a blind person. Holding another man, you are going to make this difficult pilgrimage. That blind monk replied, it is true, I don't have eyes to see God. But God has eyes to see me. So I am going to see the Lord. He will see me. I know I have no eyes to see him. I know it. It tells us what our attitude should be. Lord, we don't have eyes to see you, but you have eyes to see us. You see us. All right, you can ask me questions. Mm-hmm. No. Devaki is the mother. Devaki and Vasudeva is his father. Jashoda was his foster mother. Jashoda had a daughter, and it was exchanged at midnight. The daughter came to Devaki's, and Krishna, it was arranged that way, and Krishna went to Jashoda in the Gokulu, the other side of the river Yamuna. And next morning, Kamsa, the tyrannical king, which is Krishna's uncle, mother's brother, came and threw that daughter and killed. But he could not kill the daughter. The daughter flew away. You see, in the mythology, it says, Tore bodhibe je gokule bariche, mane, the person who will kill you, he is growing in Gokul, in the other side of the river. So he became, the king became mad. He said, kill all children in my kingdom who is 1 year old. So they started to massacre all children, just like your Christ story. Kill all children who is 1 year old. No, Jashoda is his foster mother. Swamiji said, Krishna's birth, many parts of Krishna's life are very similar to Christ. Christ was born in a manger, he was born in a cell. Both parents, you know, out of fear, fled. He could not fled, they were arrested in jail. But, you know, Christ's parents fled. Then all children were killed.